reading of God's word. Hallelujah. We trust that you all had a wonderful time. This past weekend, enjoyed yourself with family and friends. And it is, I thought I would not be able to, last night, thought I would not be able to preach this morning. But oh, give God praise. How I praise him. How I praise him. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 5 and 6, where we have been camping out for some weeks now. And I'm leaving it today. I'm leaving Exodus today. And we certainly will either close this entire series today, or next week will be the last of it. But I'm positive that we're leaving Exodus today. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 5 and 6, if you will. They're standing there by in Rephidim, and it is a very miserable situation. And there is the need to be refreshed. And the Lord answered Moses and said to him, "Go out in front of the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile with, and go." He says, "And I will stand there before you upon the rock of Oreb. I want you to strike the rock, and water will come out for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses essentially struck the rock. I want you to put your Bibles down this morning. Hallelujah. And grab a hold of your neighbor's hands and tell your neighbor, God has a word for you today. Come on, tell somebody else, God has a word for you today. And here it is. Here it is. The word simply said, strike it. Oh, slap three persons, just three persons, and tell them, strike it. Just tell somebody, strike it. You ought to say with some sense of confidence, strike it. All right, be seated, be seated. Now, regardless how magnanimous one's personal aspirations or how noble your goals and pursuits, no matter how grandiose an enterprise you may embark upon, crisis is an unavoidable, inescapable phenomenon that is not limited or circumscribed to a few isolated cases. In fact, the greater the endeavor, the more likely you are to encounter some disturbing misfortunes. Can I get a witness? Crisis happens to all of us, whether a personal crisis, corporate crisis, national crisis, domestic crisis, social crisis, family crisis, physical or mental crisis, midlife crisis, spiritual crisis, or financial crisis. Whether of a mild nature or of a pandemic scale, crisis happens to all of us. And as a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, it is often the very thing that determines those who will yield to defeatism versus those who will emerge from beneath the adversity to ascend the towering heights of success and notoriety. Crisis. Crisis is an inevitable natural occurrence. It is, but purpose must always take precedence, brothers and sisters, over circumstances and conditions. No matter how extreme, no matter how severe, it is the purpose that must override the natural events of the crisis. Purpose will push you to go beyond the pain. It will push you to go beyond the shame. There is something about when you determine that regardless of what is happening, I have to win. Philosophically speaking, then, if life is a journey, crisis is no more than a bump in the road. Did you hear me? You either find a way to get around it or build a bridge and get over it. But at no point whatsoever should you allow crisis to force you to abbreviate or to abdicate your vision or mission in life. If you would turn me down just a little. The perpetuity and quality of life and ministry is intrinsically connected to your attitudinal disposition when dealing with a crisis. Your ability to prevail and outlive these unbearable conditions, how you handle yourself during these desolate, destitute, desperate predicaments is predicated upon a resolute personal decision that says defeat is not an option. Shout, defeat is not an option. You have to make a cognitive, volitional decision that survival is your only alternative. Now, it is critical for us to realize that one experience in life, however frightening, disheartening, and overpowering, are intentional and dichotomous in their very nature, in that they are deliberately designed either to promote or to propel us to a higher altitude or to expose certain inconspicuous, unidentified, hidden potential within us. The child of God must always remain cognizant of the fact that deeply embedded and entrenched in every area or in every crisis lies this secret component called opportunity. Like dark clouds, I want to tell somebody that every crisis, brothers and sisters, possesses the potential to bend you, to stretch you, or to make you, hallelujah, to God what God intended for you to be. You've got to make a choice whether it's going to break you or transform you into a fearless, gallant warrior who stands as an inspirational paragon of faith and hope. When a crisis strikes, as they often do, leaders cannot throw their hands up in the air in hopelessness and despair. Crisis is it awakens a type of resilience and courage and tenacity within us that ordinarily we might never have realized within our own self. I know. I see those tears, the violent, dashing winds of displeasure and misery got you thinking that you are going under. But God told me to tell you that that which is positioned to pull you down is the very thing God has designed to push you, hallelujah, straight to the top. Each of us must then become cognizant. We must be acutely aware of the fact that sometimes the thing that causes us the most pain, the most shame, or the most distress, ironically, is quite often the very thing that becomes the source of your greatest joy. Shout amen, somebody. You struggle with it for the entire duration, hallelujah to God. At times, it felt as if it was going to take your very life, left you with no other alternative but to face the responsibility all on your own. God only knows how you did it, but now robed in the cap and gown, receiving the college degree, amen, floods of unspeakable joy now fills your very soul as you watch her stand to receive that degree in her hand. Somebody say amen. That which stands as the most obstructive barrier in your life, that which looks like the most, amen, perilous bombardment to your future, sometimes becomes the treasury vault that holds the secret to your best life. Yes, typically this is precisely where Moses was now, and he's looking at what bears the resemblance of a mausoleum waiting to provide permanent residence for the next dead bodies. And at that morbid place of bewilderment and consternation, God spoke to Moses in Exodus chapter 17, verse 5 to 6, and said to him, he said, I want you to walk out in front of the people. I want you to get away from the crowd. The crowd is angry and they're threatening to kill him because there is no water. But God said, I want you to separate yourself. I want you to get yourself in your position of leadership. I want you to be proactive. I want you to get up. I don't want you to be mourning and commiserating with them. I want you to walk out in front of the people. And then he says, I want you to take the staff with you, and not just any kind of staff. I want you to take that rod that you used to strike the River Nile. You remember when he struck the River Nile? The Bible tells us when God released the 10 plagues over Egypt, the Egyptians literally worshiped the River Nile, and with a piece of dry stick that was touched by the hand of God, the Bible said that Moses would then strike the water under God's command with the rod, and the river that they depended upon for life quickly, immediately transformed into blood. Come on and say amen, somebody. Showing that God is the one that is responsible for life. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah to God. In other words, God says, what I did at the River Nile, I'm about to do more, so much more at the Mount of Oreb. Somebody say yes. At the River Nile, I turn water into blood, but I'm gonna now make water flow out of the dry rock. Say amen, somebody. I come to tell somebody right here that what God did for you yesteryear, that God is getting ready to do even greater, abundantly, even more than you could possibly think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Somebody say amen. God said, I did it before and I'll do it again. I'm getting ready to show you that I am, that I'm not limited, I'm not restricted, I'm not circumscribed, I'm not confined, nor am I controlled by, hallelujah, improbabilities of conditions, nor the extremities of circumstances, but I'm the God who works miracles in the hard and difficult places of your life. Somebody say yes. That is why Jeremiah chapter 32 and 27, the Lord said to Jeremiah, tell the people, he says, behold, I am the Lord. Hallelujah to God. What are you saying? He is saying, I am the Lord. I'm Jehovah Adonai. Hallelujah to God. I'm Lord over all. I'm Lord of everything. He said, I'm Jehovah. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And the question is asked, Israel, is there anything too hard for God? I come to ask refuge this morning, like God asked Israel, as you stand there, hallelujah to God, dealing with your impossible situation, is there anything too hard for God? As you stand there weighing in your hands, hallelujah to God, the weight and the burdens that you have been carrying, the Spirit of the Lord speak expressly again today. Is there anything too hard for my God to work out? Somebody shout hallelujah. God said to Moses, he says, I want you to call some of the elders of Israel. Watch this now. And he says, I want them to join you. And I will stand before you. I will stand before you upon the rock in Horeb. Hallelujah, somebody. He's not saying, I need you to call them and let them stand with you and abide with you and accompany you or to help you. No, God is saying, I need a witness. Hallelujah, somebody. What I'm getting ready to do in you, I'm getting ready to create a testimony. And I need a witness. Hallelujah, to God that will truly declare, after I've done it through you, that there's nobody like him. There's nobody like the Lord. Say amen, somebody. This is so because we saw last week where Moses was standing alone and there was no one with him to accompany nor to assist him when the people strove, amen, to kill him. But God said, this time I need you to bring the elders. I'm going to show them the power of my hands. Come on and say amen, somebody. Somebody ought to rejoice now because God's getting ready to make a testimony out of your situation. And if you believe it, lift your hands and shout glory, hallelujah. I didn't come to hype you. I come to tell you that every negative situation, I come to tell you that every embarrassing experience, I come to tell you that every troubled night will have to give way, hallelujah, to God, to a powerful testimony. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. As difficult as it seems, don't you run from it. God is saying, I need you to face it. I need you to walk out in front of the people. Hallelujah to God. As weak as you feel, I need you to stand up for this. I need you to take, hallelujah, a stand. And I need you to stand by the rock. And when you stand by the rock, here it is, I will stand upon the rock. Oh my God. The LT, that version says, God says, I will stand. The Living Translation, I will stand upon the rock. Hallelujah, somebody. I thought that would get somebody as excited as I was when I read it. God said, I'm going to stand on the rock. I'm going to stand up on top of the rock. Notice here that God has now taken up an offensive position of supreme authority. He is now standing up on the very source of that which seems completely impossible. And by this, God is saying, I'm in control. Relax. I got this. Slap somebody and tell them, relax, relax, relax. God got this. God, I feel you here today. Hallelujah. Somebody, touch your neighbor and tell them, God's got this. I got to move fast. I just lost half of you here this morning. You didn't get it, but look at it again. Moses is standing by the rock, and God is now standing up on the rock and picking up. I'm picking up, hallelujah, a distress signal, hallelujah, in this place today from somebody who's been saying, as hard as I try, I just never seem to get a break. I can't get a break, but I've got good news for you. I got a word for somebody this morning. God told me to tell you, I'm on top of things. I'm on top of it. Come on, somebody. It looks as if any minute now things are going to crumble, come crashing down on you. But don't you worry. Don't you worry about a thing. I've got news for you. Your health and your children, your past, your future, your job, you know the car note, you know it's stacking, the bills are stacking up high. All of that, God's on top of it. Somebody say yes. I said God is on top of it. Are you hearing me, somebody? You got to
to get up from under the heavy burden and under the heavy weight of what you've been carrying, because you ain't got to die under it. You don't have to die in it if God is standing on top of it. Come on and say, yeah. Somebody lift your hands and say, God got this. You got to understand, you got to understand that when God stands with you, brothers and sisters, he is not standing as a spectator. Are you hearing me, somebody? He's not standing as an onlooker. Amen. When God stands with you, he's standing, hallelujah to God, he's standing because something spectacular is getting ready to happen. So God told Moses to do something that is just right out, radical. He told him to do something so radical, hallelujah, that it took all the faith, all the faith Moses could muster, hallelujah, to do it. Why am I striking this hard rock with a piece of dry stick? But God told Moses, he says, I want you to strike the rock and water will come gushing out. Are you hearing me, somebody? When God gives you a command, you do not question God. Hallelujah. You don't try to interrogate him. You don't become like a fact finders committee. Your responsibility is to obey the voice of God. Come on, somebody. Obey my prophets. Hallelujah to God. And you will have good success. I feel like helping somebody this morning. Hallelujah, somebody. God told Moses, he says, strike the rock. Oh my God, I'm coming to it. I'm coming back to it. He didn't tell him to speak to it. He told him to strike the rock. To strike then, brothers, it means to hit forcefully. It means to hit with all of your might. It is to hit with deliberate intent. Say amen, somebody. Say amen, somebody. God wants a bold, courageous man of God, a woman of God, that will stand ready to obey his every command. Come on, somebody. When he gives you a command, you don't stand there biting your nails, hallelujah to God, and fiddling with your thumb. Come on, somebody. You face the enemy with courage and buoyancy. Come. I told you to strike it. I didn't say pat it or massage it. Strike the rock. Lord God Almighty, a revelation is coming down here. In other words, your blessing is right here. Your deliverance is right now. But you have got to approach it, amen, with force. You got to approach it with a forceful, vigorous sense of aggression. Somebody say aggression. Hallelujah. Strike it. Touch your neighbor. Tell him strike it. I said touch your neighbor. Tell him strike it. You have got to, amen. You have got a mountain standing in front of you. Oh my God. And I know it's hard, but you have got to become aggressive. This is what God is telling somebody in this season of your life. You got to become aggressive with your miracle. You cannot just be, amen, sit here hoping and wishing that sooner or later something's gonna happen. No, you've got to take matters into your own hands. You've got to acquire a deliberate, resolute, forthright spirit, amen, that goes after your miracle in the power and in the might of the Lord. You've got to go after your miracle with an aggressive determination to possess what God has reserved for you. Touch somebody and tell them, strike it. Oh my God, have mercy. You're gonna remain in the same place, in the same condition, until you determine to make a move. Your life will never be better. You will never experience advancement and increase until you rise up with the might of the Lord and strike the thing that is trying to hold you back. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Pull on somebody and tell them I feel radical. Pull on somebody and tell them I need a change. And if change is possible, it starts with me. Slap somebody and tell them strike it. Yeah, you gotta strike it. Hallelujah to somebody. We are here. We are afraid. We're afraid to make a move, most of us, because to some folks, we're gonna look stupid. 2.5 million people, Quindell, dying of thirst, and all you've got in your hands is a piece of dry stick hitting up against a gigantic rock, and what you look like, a lunatic. Come on, somebody. But God sometimes chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise and the prudent. Come on, somebody. It's an oxymoron. Hallelujah. For you to take a piece of dry stick to go up against a rock. Come on, somebody. But if it's a rock that has been anointed, if it's a stick that has been anointed by God, God will command the rock to respond to the beat. Come on, somebody, to the force of your stick. Are you hearing me, somebody? I said, if it is a dry stick, hallelujah, that is anointed by God, then God will command the rock to respond to the dry stick. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. Here it is. God said, I stand by you. And if God is with you, mountains has got to fall. Shall amen, somebody. All of the limitless abilities, when God stand by you, all of his limited abilities, all of his power, all of divine omnipotence becomes accessible to you. And so in lieu of God's presence, you cannot operate from a spirit of fear. You can no longer operate from a spirit of fear if God is standing with you, but of power and of preeminence. Come on, somebody, rise up in the power of the Lord. When God stands by you, his presence becomes the propelling force, the propelling influence that drives you to succeed. Thus you cannot fail while depending on God's power. Somebody rise up and strike. Yeah. When God's presence comes near you, when God's presence is on you, now you're operating not from a place of inferiority, but from a place of superiority, from a place of unlimited power. His power in you makes every other power inferior to you. I would I could get somebody to shout hallelujah. Therefore, with every endeavor or difficulty that you face, approach it with resilience. Approach it with relentless tenacity. Strike it with all your might. The problem is you are still, hallelujah to God, you are still standing around. Hallelujah to God. You are still standing around waiting, still standing around daydreaming, instead of walking and living out the fulfillment of your dreams. Hallelujah to God. Because you lack the persistence, you lack the aggressive spirit of a fearless, heavy-hidden, amen, die-hard conqueror. Are you hearing me, somebody? By this time, many of us should have been securely positioned in a place of independence and preeminence. Oh my God, life could have been a whole lot better if only you had the courage. courage and the unyielding aggression to forcibly approach the hardness or the hindrances and the oppositions, hallelujah, in your life. If you'd approach it, hallelujah, to God with resilience, if you'd approach it with resistible faith, you've got to go after it. You've got to strike with everything that you've got. Are you hearing me, somebody? If it's gonna be get better, you got to use what God has already given to you. You gotta strike.
You see, you are afraid to go at it hard because you are focusing on the rock. You are focusing on the difficulty that stands before you. Focusing on the rock instead of centering your concentration on the creator of the rock. He who is standing on the rock is well able to command the rock to release your miracle from the rock. Come on, say amen, somebody. I come to tell somebody that your miracle is coming out of the hardest thing that you've ever had to live with or deal with. You don't hear me, somebody? I said your greatest miracle is coming out of the hardest thing, the most difficult thing that you ever had to struggle with, the thing that kept your eyes lubricated with tears. Come on, somebody. The thing that kept your face drenched with sweat, that hard thing that nobody would believe if you told it, that hard thing that caused you nothing but shame and even public reproach, your greatest miracle is coming up out of that thing. Touch your neighbor and tell him something good is getting ready to come out of this. You got to develop the instinctive, resistive, intensive, vigorous, impulsive, aggressive attitude that regards or capitulate and surrender to absolutely no deterrent, no blockage, no barricade that stands in the way, because faith doesn't see giants. Hallelujah to God. Faith sees a pebble that becomes a missile to cut down my Goliath. Somebody say yes. Somebody say yes. The problem is that some of you are too docile. You are too dull. You are too laid back. You are too easygoing. You are too passive. You are not aggressive enough to go towards the things that is able to transform your life and your future. You gotta stand up with faith and courage and strike with everything that you have on the inside. Somebody say yeah. It's a pathetic thing to see people sitting down with their hand. On their chin, worrying, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? How are we going to get out? But I done tried everything I could. I done exhausted all of my resource. What am I going to do? And God is saying, get up and strike. Lord God Almighty, you are waiting for somebody else to do it for you. Watch here. Moses is standing by the rock.
God is standing on the rock and God gives directives. Hallelujah. The creator of the rock gives directive to, hallelujah, his servant, his representative in the earth, the one to whom he gave dominion. That means from the time that God gives you a word, he activates the word and fills it with dominion power. It means that it is unstoppable, because my word, even if you fail, my word shall not return unto me void. Somebody preach with me. So Moses is standing like the church is always standing. We're standing and hoping and praying. We come from Sunday all the way back to Sunday in prayer, hoping that something will happen, that God will do it. And God said, I want to perform a miracle. I want to bring miracles to your life, but I want to do it through you. Strike the rock. Lord, 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 Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Deep down in the sanctuary of my spirit, like a hammer beating against my head, I hear God saying to somebody in here, strike it. You have been standing here in a lethargical position of idleness, of indolence. You are standing here in inactivity. You are waiting for God to serve it up to you. Serve your miracle on a silver platter. Hallelujah, somebody. While God is saying, I'm right here, I'm on top of things, I've already decreed, hallelujah, I've placed the power into your hands. All you've got to do is strike it. Somebody get up and strike. Hallelujah, you're sleeping too long. It's not coming to you. Hallelujah, just sitting down. Honey, you gotta walk the pavement. You gotta beat the road. You gotta get up in the night when everybody else is asleep. You gotta read 10 chapters more than the brightest one in school. You gotta run 2 miles more than the fastest one on the track. You gotta lift 200 pounds more, hallelujah, than the heavyweight on the team. You gotta strike it. There are folks still standing around, black folk talking about reparations, hallelujah to God, waiting on the government to give them some handout that was taken from their forefathers. But I come to tell you, Trump ain't giving you jack. It's time for you to rise up and declare, this land is my land, hallelujah, and I want a piece of it. It's time for us to rise up and take your state and take your position, take your stake. It's time for us, honey. God said it's time. Do not wait. It's time for your own house. It's time for you to own it. It's time for you to buy it. It's time for you to purchase it. But my credit is bad. Strike. Get somebody to help you fix it. Strike. Come on, be proactive. Why sit we here until we die? Rise up and strike. Make something happen. One of my sons came home from college, and ever since he got out, he's been filling applications and nobody's calling, but he's been sleeping, going to bed 3 and 4 in the morning and getting up way in the afternoon. And I had to do some work this past week that if you saw me, I wouldn't look like I was anybody called by God. Are you hearing me, somebody? But the problem is that some of you respect work too much. You respect work so much that you bow down to it and refuse to get involved with it. Are you hearing me, somebody? So while I was cutting some branches and cutting grass and weeding and cleaning, I thought of this kid. So I jumped in my car and I went and picked him up. I said, now, You hear me good. You can't find any work, and you need work before you get back to school. So here's what I'm going to do. I said to myself, I got so much to do. Why am I out here doing this when I can pay this kid to take care of this, and it works for both me and him because he'll have money in his pocket? I said, I will pay you hefty. I'm not bringing you. I'm not coming to pick you up. This is the first time and the last time. I'm not coming to pick you up. Your parents got a lawnmower. I said, you pick up your lawnmower, and by any means necessary, you get there and you cut that big lawn, and this is what I'm going to pay you. Come on and talk to me, somebody. I'm not going to call you. You can have it for the entire summer. And I'm not going to call you and tell you every week that, did you go to cut it, or did you come to, or are you coming to cut it? If I get there and it's not cut, then I'll call who I used to call and let them cut it. And when you show up, you'll find out that there's no money. Are you hearing me, somebody? Then I got to talking to him, and he got a little excited. And I told him, I said, now, listen here. You ain't getting no work, so you got to make something happen. I look at him. I said, you've got to strike. What do you mean? I said, now, after you finish cutting my lawn and the sweat is running down your face, walk across the neighbor's yard and tell your neighbor, my name is such and such. Hallelujah to God. I'm in second year in college. My parents cannot afford it, and I've been trying to find a job, and I can't find no job. I'm just trying to make a little bit more money to get back to school back in September. Would you allow me to cut your lawn? And I'll take 40% less than what the normal person would pay to get it cut. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Hallelujah to God. They might say, well, I already have someone. But if you are persistent, you might be able to persuade them. Hallelujah to God. Now, I said, if they say no and you walk by there one day and that lawn is way high, you take your lawnmower and you start to cut that grass. And I promise you that halfway into cutting that grass, they'll look outside and said, either he's a maniac, a fool, or I need to pay that boy some money. I'm coming to tell you that you got to get up and strike. If nothing is happening for you, you got to make something happen for you. Are you hearing me, somebody? If your boss keeps overlooking you and keep on, amen, giving other raises, hallelujah to God, to his friends, his associates, and to his family in the department, you got to begin to volunteer yourself and take on a workload that nobody else will take on. You gotta come in earlier than anybody else will ever come in, and leave later than anybody else will leave, and let your supervisor take note. You gotta strike, and you gotta strike it hard. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you're a student in school, you gotta strike hard. We don't want no complaints. Complaints never achieve a degree. I know it's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for you. It's hard for them. It's hard for all of us. You gotta strike. Nothing of value comes easy. And we want it easy. We want it easy. Jesus gave his disciples an impossible task. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And know I'm with you always. That's all they got. That's all he gave them. He never put a Bible commentary in their hands. Anybody gonna talk to me here? Is anybody gonna talk to me here? Listen, he never gave them any money. He never bought them a new suit, a robe, nothing. Simply tell them to go and strike it hard. And if you go into, don't bring no purse with you, don't bring no money with you. And if you get into somebody's house and you go there to share the gospel and they reject the gospel, he said, dust the dust off of your feet and keep on walking, but don't you stop walking. Strike as you go along the way. And those 11 disciples turned the entire ancient world upside down. Are you hearing me, somebody? He's put it in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. You are a world changer. You can impact community. You can change lives. But you got to start with yours. You got to start believing in God and believing in what he has placed inside. Am I talking to anybody? What is your plans? What you mean? What you mean you don't drive? What you mean you don't drive? You ain't got no car. How much longer are you going to be a bother to somebody else? How much longer are you going to get out of the car and you walking away and somehow you could feel those eyes following you all the way? So you better not call me one more day. Well, Bishop, you done know I don't have such and such and I don't have certain things. So how come other people that don't have such and such of things, how come they got a license? Why are you living in fear? Hey, listen to me. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm only talking to those who can handle it. Because they're saying they can get you some ID. And you think, well, if I let Trump know where I am, they'll come to get me to send me back home. Who brought you here? Who's been keeping you here? Your God is bigger than Trump. Your God is bigger than the Democratic and the Republican Party. Your God is bigger than Congress and the Senate. Live not your life in fear, but in faith in Jesus Christ. Fear is kindred. Fear has robbed people. Hasn't God been good to you all of these years? Tell them to send this to the White House. God will hide you in the palm of his hands. We don't care for no SWAT team and we don't care about no strike force that Trump have. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. Our heart is honest and receptive to the call of Almighty God. Church, he's a keeper of them who diligently seek him. He'll give sleep to the righteous. He'll make your sleep sweet. Some of us have been detained a night or two in the lion's den, not for God to terrorize you, but to use you as an example to the world that I'm a keeper. Get up. You deserve it. You deserve it. Hallelujah to God. You don't need to give another dime to Uber. My daddy and my mother came to this country 40 years ago. 40 years they've had an opportunity to get a license. And they will go back to God never ever knowing the pleasure of what it feels like. What it feels like. Amen. To turn that steering wheel and press that piece of metal and open the window and watch the breeze fly by you. They'll never know the joy of just going long distances, riding on a Sunday afternoon. You're going no place but just taking in the scenery. Stop it. Be dependent on nobody. This is your season, refuge for independence.
And you can sit there and mope and dry and cry and grumble and complain every day and seek for mourners and people to get sorry for you. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Get up and strike. Get up and do something.
You know, I don't care what you say. Some of the best known people, I don't see, I was going to call someone, but I don't see him right now. But some of the best paid people that I know are not people that wears the white collar, the blue suit, you know, the Leslie look on a Monday morning. You understand? When Leslie comes home, stand up, Norman. Come on, stand up. When Leslie comes home from work during the days, you can't smell a sweat. That boy's in the air conditioner room all day long, sitting on the telephone and writing big contracts. But there are some folk in here, listen, that when they come home, God help their wives. They got to go straight to the bathroom and scrub and scour and bleach those nails out with all the dirt. But don't feel sorry for them boys. No, they're striking it hard. They're not asking anybody for nothing. They're providing for their family. And some of their children are better dressed than those that have driving big cars. Are you hearing me, somebody? Don't you sit around here and feel sorry for yourself all the day long. Make something happen. Is anybody going to talk to me? God is going to help those who are going to help themselves. You hear me? Have you noticed that not one disciple that Jesus Christ called was unemployed? Go back to the text. Every last one of them, he took them off their jobs. Jesus did not hire unemployed people, lazy people that is constantly waiting on a miracle. I am not the miracle of lazy people. I am not a miracle for lazy people. I am a miracle for the helpless. Come on and talk to me, somebody. We got to make something happen. Can I close this message here? Touch somebody and tell them you got to strike it. Come on, tell somebody you got to strike it. Oh my God, choosing to go the easy way. You are sitting around playing with it, toying with it, with your future, not realizing that a glorious life is at your fingertips. Yes, yes, yes. If you'd only hit the books with mad passion and determination, striving to do far more and achieve far much, far more than is required. And what God is saying is, you've got to go after it, and go after it with ferocious aggression and hit it with a passion. Strike it. This is not the time to sit with your hands folded, waiting for miracles to fall from heaven. God says, go after it and strike it with everything that you've got. Strike it. Hit it with your best shot. You've got to know when to strike and when not to strike. Is anybody with me? I said, you got to know when to strike and when not to strike. Because it's a dangerous thing not to strike when God tells you to strike. There's an old proverb that says, strike while the iron is hot. This alludes to the imagery of a blacksmith shaping a piece of metal in the furnace of the fire. Did y'all hear what I just said? You look at a beautiful sword. Gil's in, rush into my office. No, rush into my office. Bring me that sword that's on my wall. You look at a beautiful sword shaped and carved out of metal. And what we always do is that we look at the finished product And we are lost in admiration without considering the process. The only reason why this beautiful piece of weapon is the way that it is, this must be the one that Goliath had. It's a big one. Imagine trying to fight with this. The only reason why this thing is so beautiful is because it had to go through the furnace. Now, I'm not talking about the temperature that you use to boil hot water. No. They had to turn it up to maximum level. This came out of the furnace. If its beauty is appreciated, you cannot appreciate its beauty and its power and its sharpness until you consider the furnace from which it was taken. And if you are a sword in the hand of God, then God will have to put you to the furnace of oppression, of opposition, of adversity in order to shape and bend you until you become valuable in the hands of God. Man, I didn't tell you to go nowhere. Are you hearing me, somebody? He's got to wait. The smith got to put it in the fire. And if it doesn't, if he doesn't hit and bend the iron, when the fire is at its maximum intensity and thus pliable, then the metal soon cools off. Watch this. And hardens. And the opportunity is lost. You got to know when to strike. Come on, somebody shout, strike it now. Don't wait until the passion cools off. Don't wait until the desire is gone. Strike. Don't wait until your thoughts become cloudy and your emotion begins to vacillate. Strike. Don't wait until strength begins to weaken. Hallelujah to God. And recline into hibernation. Don't wait until energy declines and health fades away. Strike while you're well in. Amen. Strike while you're well in control. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Strike while all your strength, you have all your strength and your vitality. Strike while it's still fresh on your mind and heavy in your heart. Don't wait until inspiration vanishes. Strike while the presence is near and the anointing is still blazing on the inside of your sanctified soul. You gotta strike. When it's hot, don't you make the miserable mistake of speaking when you ought to be striking with all your might. He said, well, there are only two times in scripture that I read, maybe I'm wrong, I'll look it up again, that God tells Moses to deal with the rock in order to bring water out of it. It's this time in Exodus. This time he tells him to strike. And I'll show you in a minute. He tells him to strike. Then when you go to Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8, again, God tells Moses to deal with the rock. But this time he tells him to speak to the rock. Watch this. First time he tells him strike it. This time he tells him to speak to it. Moses decided that he was going to be a traditionalist. Because God did it that way before. So certainly God must have made a mistake this time. Because I'm looking at this rock and it looked just like the last rock that we struck. So I ain't got time for this. He strikes this rock out of anger. Come on and talk to me, somebody. And what happened when you strike when God tells you to speak? You bring on the wrath of God on your life. Because what happened is that you now switch position and you override God's divine decree and now put yourself into a superior position to God. And I want to tell you that you don't know how to deal with this. You don't always know how to deal with situations. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God. You got to be careful that to understand that first of all, that the blessings of God come through faith, but faith only works with obedience. It is in concert or in conjunction to God's word. So if God tells you to speak, there are certain situations. Rocks are unmovable. They'll sit there until 2 millennia from now. They'll be there. Dirt might wash over them. They might be covered all over in mud or in sand or whatever. They'll grow, but they remain right there if nobody moves them. And sometimes God sends you into some hard places that he allows you, he envelops you with his strength and his power, and he allows you to strike it and cause that rock to respond to you. But then there are some situations in your life that you have to approach it not with manpower, with brute force. You've got to approach it with the word of God. You got to speak the word of God to those situations, because there are forces that are behind those conditions. Are you hearing me, somebody? And there are forces that will only respond to the voice of God through the word of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? You got to speak the word. Sometimes instead of you crying over stuff, you got to get up and pick that scripture, and every scripture that you can find that deals with your situation, you not just recite it, but you begin to declare it into your life, into your situation. And what you are doing is that you are taking authority over it by the word of God. The world was created and everything that is in it, for the word of God is sharp and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Are you hearing me, somebody? And when you speak to some obstinate, difficult situation in your life, when you begin to inject your body with the word of God, there's a certain condition that has no choice but to respond to the word. Standing there at the rock of Horeb, Moses struck the rock as he was told, and immediately a flood of water gushed out and turn Rephidim into a streaming oasis. Somebody here needs to know that the thing that seems most impossible is exactly where God is going to work his greatest miracle. You didn't hear me? Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? The thing that seems most impossible is exactly where God is going to work his greatest miracle. What you need is God's divine assistance to pull your miracle out of those hard and stubborn conditions and experiences of life. I'm closing, but the Holy Spirit is telling me that somebody is standing exactly where God wants you, exactly where you need to be. You are standing right next to your miracle, but you can't see it for not seeing the God and the creator of it all. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? You need divine assistance to pull your miracle out of that dry place. I've been sent to tell somebody, I've been sent to tell you that you are God's strike force. I wish I was reaching somebody today. You are God's strike force. 30 thirsty people are standing and waiting. Their children are dying. They are thirsty for water. And the only man that can make a difference is standing. And God says to Moses, strike. If you strike, I create a miracle that will touch 2.5 million people. You are my strike force. If you don't do it, they either die or I'm going to have to raise somebody else up to do it. Are you hearing me, somebody? God says, I want to work miracles in this community, but I want to do it through you. I'm waiting for you to strike. I've been sent to tell you that you are God's strike force. And if you will determine in your mind to strike out against every satanic opposition that stands in your way, God says, I'll cause rivers of blessings to flow through you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Whatever has detained your miracle, whatever it is that is holding on to your blessing, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, today we pull it out in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Come on, stand on your feet. And for two minutes, I need somebody to begin to pray in tongue. I need somebody to begin to attack this thing from a spiritual perspective. I need you to pray in tongue right now. God said, I want you to strike out at it. Strike it. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. Strike against every evil force that has confiscated your glory. Hallelujah to God. And I command your prophetic blessings, hallelujah to God, to come to surface. Everything that is holding on to your the fruitfulness of your treasures. We, oh my God, have mercy, Jesus. We come confined. We confine nausea to your spiritual intestines. We tell those evil forces to vomit like the whale that held Jonah, and release your miracles. Release your miracle. Somebody is not here today. Somebody is not here today. I said, attack it, attack it, attack it, attack it right now. I said, attack it. I didn't say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. I didn't know. I said, pray in the spirit right now. Pray in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. In recalling this event, Psalms 105 and verse 41 says, God opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. It recalls how when Israel was going through that dry, arid desert, in Isaiah 44 and 21, Isaiah says they did not thirst. When he had led them through the desert. In other words, they did not suffer or die as a result of thirst. But God made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock, is what Isaiah says, and water gushed out. Moses struck the rock, but it was God that split the rock. Amen. And water gushed out. Who did it? God did it. And if God did it then, somebody better know. Do it again. Do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Open the floodgates, God of heaven, and let it flow in the life of somebody. Somebody needs a miracle today. Last week, somebody determined that they were going to do something about it. I received so many texts last week after this service ended. People saying I was contemplating it. People saying I was going to do it. I've been holding myself back. Pastor, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to go further. I'm going to do better. I'm going to go at it harder. I'm going to hit it stronger. And today, God is saying the same thing, that if you would strike it, I split that thing wide open in the name of Jesus. And I bring out of it, Isaiah 45, I bring out hidden treasures. I bring out hidden treasures out of there that you know not of. No, you are not going to leave here this way.
That's what I hear God saying. No, it is not going to end this way, in defeat, in shame. The way things look right now, it just can't end this way. That's why you ought to encourage yourself with those hands that are lifted and raised right now. Come on, musicians, help me to get there. Create that atmosphere. Come on.
That you can do it again.
It's in your hands. It's in your mind.
When there was
it's in your thought.
Way.
It's in your spirit.
I believe
it's in your account.
You can do
He'll use
again.
The little that you have
see you move.
To the great and mighty things in the Lord. Who
and
are you today
to
give up? You give up on yourself. When you give up on yourself, you give up on God.
When there was no
everybody stand.
Way, and I believe
lift your hands.
That you can do it again.
Come on, sing it out.
I see you move.
Jesus.
You're moving mountains.
Jesus.
And I believe.
I believe.
That you can do it again. You've made a way.
If that's you this morning.
When there was no
and you
way,
need to come.
And I believe
if you need a 6-day miracle or a 5-day miracle, if you need it to happen before the end of this week,
you're moving.
If you got the faith to believe it, come on, stand right here.
I believe
that
you can do it again. You made a way,
Jesus,
when there was no way.
And
I believe that you can do it again. I see you move the mountain, and I believe that you can do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe that you can do it again. I see you move,
Jesus.
You move the mountain.
Come on, if you
and
fail.
I believe that you can do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move
the mountain.
You move the mountain. And I believe.
I see you do it.
I see you do
you
it again.
Made a way.
You made a way
where there was no
when there was no
and
way.
I believe.
And I believe
that you can do it.
That you can do
I
it.
I see you move.
I see you move.
You move the mountain.
You move the mountain.
And I believe.
And I
grab a hold of your neighbor's hands right where you're standing. Right where you're standing. Our Reverend Clark is going to come and pray for us today. And pray for these that are standing here on the altar, believing God for a miracle. And I want you to know that impossible is possible to them that believe.
Hallelujah. Shall we close your eyes? Begin to focus. Our mountain mover. Our bridge over troubled waters. Our answer in time of need. We have received the word. The word you have sent to us, it came like a sword and a hammer. We thank you, Lord, that we are the recipient of the word at this moment to mobilize us, to encourage and to inspire us. It came straight from the throne of God, and we receive today. We will not walk backward. We will not stand still. But according to your divine word today, we will begin to strike in every area of our lives. 7 days per week we will strike until the breakthrough comes, until deliverance comes, until salvation comes, until signs and wonders take place. And these who have walked up at the altar, the place you have designated for us to come to meet with you, you said you dwell between the cherubims and the seraphims. Jehovah Gibborah is your name. Look down from heaven, and that which our bishop cannot do for them at the altar, we call on you, Almighty God. O Ancient of Days, Yahweh is his name. We call on you, the immortal, invisible God, to begin to perform a work, to begin to do a new thing, to begin to move mountains, to begin to shut the mouth of the lions, to begin to quench the fiery furnace, and bring, Lord God, their victory. Lord, grant them faith. Faith. For without faith, it is impossible. Faith to believe, faith to accept, and faith to receive. Lord, I have to pray for the man of God. Father God, none of the perspiration will go in vain. Oh God, the racing of the heartbeat will not go in vain. The issue that faced the brain and the head will not go in vain. But bring up a nation. Bring up a people for the kingdom of God. I pray for fresh anointing from the top of the head to the sole of the feet. I pray for a flow, Lord God, in His spirit, like the water covering the ocean. I pray that today, my God, and for the rest of the week and his life, Lord God, he will experience what he has given to us today from God. I declare, Lord God, I declare over his children. I declare over his wife. I declare over his ministry. I declare, God, over the family members, a move of God. Lord, your servant, like Moses, standing before your people. And for the rest of us, Lord, there's still more. Still more water. You're still the rock of our salvation. And we will hide in you. We give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.